The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. In the beginning was the Word. No other set of words, biblical or traditional, has exerted a more powerful influence upon the naming of the heart of the Christian faith than this prologue to John's Gospel, that God became a human being in Jesus Christ, lived and died and was raised to new life in flesh. So what is this prologue that we heard this morning? It's not really a story like that of the birth of Jesus in the manger with the shepherds and the angels we heard on Christmas Eve. This represents a whole different genre of literature, but which one? Is it a poem? A hymn, maybe, meant to be sung? Is it a creed or a theological treatise? Maybe all of that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John's Gospel is about this Word with a capital W. Now, it's easily said, but there are layers of significance under the surface of the Greek word logos, which means so much more than a word spoken or written. In the beginning was God's speech, God's act of speaking, God's very self-expression, the intention and movement which exposed God's innermost heart. Now, the prologue to this gospel takes its cue from an even more ancient biblical text at the beginning of the book of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heaven and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Did you hear echoes of that creation story in today's gospel reading? All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. God's word was life, and the life was the light of all. Well, that is a welcome word for us. Now, the metaphor of light shining in the darkness fits well not only at this dark time of the year, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, but also as an apt metaphor for this time in history, particularly in our nation's history, when the darkness of discord and violence even seems to be engulfing us. We confront or fail to confront the darkness of senseless conflict and arguing, the darkness of injustice, the darkness of opiate epidemic, the potential darkness of the created earth's future, the darkness of ignorance and fear and anger. The light shines in the darkness, we proclaim today, and the darkness did not overcome it. Could we dare to hope that one of the darknesses the light penetrates is the darkness within our own selves, in the darkness of our sorrows or our doubts or uncertainties? The light shines. Again, we are invited by the opening song of the gospel, according to John, to place our hope in the light that shines in many forms of darkness, even in the frightening darkness that can loom inside an anxious human heart. Are some of you C.S. Lewis fans? Have you read some C.S. Lewis? In his fantasy, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, which is part of the Chronicles of Narnia, the heroes face many frightening things, but none as terrifies them as much as the Dark Island. This isn't a physical island as much as a vortex of darkness that ensnares their little ship and subjects the crew to true life projections of their worst nightmares. So imagine that you're standing on the deck of a ship under a bright blue sky, sunshine, we even might have some today, sunshine glinting from the waves of the sea, and suddenly you're plunged into a dark whirlpool of horror, and your very worst fears, the ones that haunt your nightmares, come true to you. That's what this book is like. Humiliating embarrassments, devastating rejections, crippling losses, violent injuries, the stuff of your worst terrors. The light shines in the darkness, we sing today, and as many times as we need to begin to believe that the darkness did not overcome it. Now, one of the characters in Lewis's novel, Lucy, heard a voice of comfort in the depth of the dark island. "Courage, dear heart," she heard this voice say. And sure enough, the ship was drawn back into the warmth and light of day. Now, John interrupts his song of incarnation with the voice of John the Baptist, a voice not only of comfort, but also of challenge. John the Baptist was not the light, we're told, but he testified to the light, and he was quick to recognize in Jesus the one who shines even in our darkest places. Later in John's gospel, we will meet a Samaritan woman by a well at bright noonday, who discovers to her own shock that Jesus already knew all about her, as if he had been acquainted with her all along. And we followed Nicodemus into the literal darkness of night, a darkness of privacy that protected him from ridicule because he was a respected public official who wanted to talk to Jesus but was afraid he'd get a bad reputation for it. Like Nicodemus, we can be slow to understand what Jesus is saying and who Jesus is and what he's doing in the world. And yet, like Nicodemus, we can be drawn to the light that we have trouble recognizing or even understanding or perhaps trusting. The Samaritan woman was changed by her experience. The light that came into the world when the Word of God became embodied in Jesus changed her. She became an apostle to her people. The Orthodox Christians call her Saint Photini, which means the enlightened one. And Nicodemus eventually came with Joseph of Arimathea to remove Jesus' body from the cross and place it in the tomb, emboldened to act in the daylight, not afraid to show himself a follower. But that light is right here. We meet Jesus not at a well, not in a furtive nighttime encounter, not on an island on a fantastical adventure story, but here around this table, here in the greeting of one another in the peace. We find Jesus in the broken bread that makes this gathering of people one body. We find Jesus in the expression of acceptance and love on the face of our neighbor and searching alongside us for that light that can shine in the darkness. That light is right here. As this old year ends, the church year is young. And we are early in our annual journey that contemplates and celebrates the birth, life, death, resurrection, and teachings of Jesus. But our liturgical work here is not just a celebration or a commemoration. This is not a passion play or a year-long craft fair or a reenactment of something that happened somewhere else to other people, people like John and Nicodemus and the women and men who knew Jesus. Our work here in this room is part of shining that light here and now. We bring into this room deep darkness, including the darkness of our own self-ignorance, anxiety, and grief, and the darkness of the tragedies and injustices of the world. Our celebrations here are what one theologian calls festivals of holy pain. They are expressions of our continual longing for light in the darkness, even as that light sparks into flame before us. And when we embrace one another in the peace and gather around this table laden with broken bread and a brimming cup, here, right here, the light shines. And we, like the people who experience Jesus in the flesh, embody that light that shines in the darkness. We go out those doors, witnesses to the word of God that is life, bearing the light that darkness cannot overcome into our homes, our workplaces, our schools, our community. So, courage, dear heart.